God bless every heart who has come tonight to join in this tremendous worship experience. Our anticipation has been heightened to the zenith. And my brothers and sisters, we will no longer hold you in suspension. We are about ready now to present to Dallas and Fort Worth, and it is our prayer to the rest of these United States of America. This unknown talent to the world, this skillful and talented individual whom God has blessed for such a time as this. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I present to you Minister J. Javon Jackson and Spiritual Attitude. Come on, if you love Jesus, make some noise.
Good morning, and you are listening to the James Bishop Tubman Radio Show on GPGradio.com. We're coming to you again with another special, special artist that we will be talking with on this morning. He goes by the name of Pastor J. Javon Jackson. How you doing, Pastor?
I am good, Dr. Tubman. How are you doing this great morning?
Man, we are doing wonderful. We're doing wonderful, And to our listeners, it's probably obvious now that we pre-record these interviews. So as we are speaking, it's not morning. It is an evening. And as we're having this conversation, we're finding out that there are some things that are going on in D.C., Capitol Hill, that are quite troubling. So I find it appropriate at this hour, even before we start interviewing, that we just ask you to kind of lift up our country, lift up our nation as we're going through this trying time.
Okay. Father God, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. God, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your loving kindness, for your tender mercies. And God, we come to you today asking that you would bring peace upon our land, upon our nation, oh God. We come against the spirit of the enemy that will bring about confusion, that will bring about hatred, and we bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask now that you would allow your love and your peace to take over this land. God, every piece of hatred, God, we ask that you would condemn it even now in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you would put a stop to what we are seeing on our TV, what we're seeing in the news, oh God. God, we know that we have to come to you. And if we come to you and we humble ourselves and we turn away from our wicked ways and we do the things that you have commissioned us to do, God, you promised us in the word that you would heal the land. So, God, we're asking even now that you would heal this land in the name of Jesus. And, God, as we go through the next few weeks, and we ask that you would allow peaceful transition of power, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Cover our incoming president and the vice president and the staff, his staff, yes. God, cover them in the name of Jesus. And we bind the enemy on every hand. And we thank you, God, for the victory right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In
Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. I know this is appropriate. We are praying for all our friends there in D.C.,
yes.
Across the world.
Yes.
Well, again, listeners, we have with us Pastor J. Javon Jackson, who was the Artist of the Year, I believe it was, in 2009 and 2010. Is that correct?
Correct. And I sometimes look back on that and can't believe it, that happened 2 years in a row, but we thank God for his favor over our ministry.
Yes, 2 years in a row, that is awesome. That is something definitely to give God praise and glory for. I mean, that is mm-hmm. difficult to do. So it's an attestament mm-hmm. to your work and the level of your writing ability. First of all, let's see how you doing, man. How's life treating you right now?
Man, life is treating me good. No complaints. I'm thankful to God. Been for the last going on 10 years. Have been blessed to pastor the Faith Central Church in Dallas. Married, been 20. I should have wrote that down before we started talking. 20 something years. I'm gonna put it that way. 20 something years. Amen. Three beautiful children. son has a new wife now. So God is good. I have no complaints. God has been very good and very kind.
Wow. Well, hopefully you won't find yourself on the couch when your wife is in front of you.
Yeah. We did something when we got married. We made an agreement that no matter what disagreement we had or anything, we would never sleep separate from each other. So she's going to have to forgive me for just having a little, as my kids call it, a senior moment. She's going to have to forgive me. But at least I got 20-something years, so... I got part of it right.
I love that agreement, man. All you married couples out there, y'all heard what he said. That's awesome, man. I tell my wife all the time, we try not to go to bed upset or mad at each other. So it's glad to hear other couples are practicing healthy lifestyle. So kudos to you for that. Let's talk a little bit about your start in music and how you got that inspiration, where that inspiration came from. I know you spent some time working with choirs and in the Church of God in Christ. Kind of tell us a little bit about that.
My start, it was kind of strange. Growing up, I was started off like a lot of people did on the drums, and I was just enjoying playing the drums, and God opened up the door where I was able to play for different people on the drums, but I really had a passion and desire for the organ, all of that, but I only knew how to play one song. And I never forget one Sunday our musician left church early, and my father was up preaching, and the late Sister Annie Hogan, a lot of people know her. She was real big in Texas. They called her the First Lady of Texas Gospel, but she was a member of our church, and she told me, she said, get on the organ. I said, Sister Hogan, I don't know how to play nothing but one song. She said, that's all right, get on the organ, I'm gonna sit with you. And so my dad was preaching. I got on the organ, and he kind of did a double take because he was trying to figure out who that was on the organ. And that's when I started playing. And so that's what got me to start really in music as far as playing the organ. And I started really trying to learn as much as I could. And then as I continued to grow, I finally became a musician for the church, and that's where it gave me my appreciation for choirs. But it wasn't until I graduated high school when I really knew, as a kid, I always fantasized about doing concerts and things like that. But it wasn't until I graduated high school and I said, okay, I want to work with my own choir. And so while in college, God blessed me to be able to be over the gospel choir there, and within 2 years, that's when Spiritual Attitude came. So before that, of course, the church choir, district, jurisdiction, even in the national. I worked in the national for a little while with the music, but it wasn't until I started at a community college by the name of Mountain View Community College that it was really embedded in me then, because of all the doors that were opening with just our college choir. And that's what made me want to start Spiritual Attitude.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's where it all started. I guess my teenage years is when it really hit. Because when I started Spiritual Attitude in 1994. I'll never forget, it was July of, no, I take that back, I'm sorry. It was at the end of 93, but we had our first concert in 94, in December of 94. But that's when we started Spiritual Attitude, and that was on a whole different level at that time. So it was young people from around the city, and we all just came together and had a lot of fun doing that those first few years, not knowing it would go into recording, but it ended up going to that point.
Wow. So, was there a time in your progression, and you talked about how doors open for you, especially when you got to Mountain View College, but was there a time prior to Mountain View where you got confirmation? I know you did the organ, you played the drums, you played the organ, and that love, that passion was birthed there, but was there a confirming or, moment where God really just spoke to you and said, okay, this is where I need you to minister?
Yeah, I would say probably around my sophomore year in high school. I think it was around my freshman or sophomore years when I wrote my first song. And I remember we had a youth choir at the church, and I taught the song to the youth choir. And I remember this like it was yesterday. I taught the song that night, and we did it. We had a youth, it wasn't a youth musical, but it was like a youth program or something that weekend. And we actually did that song that I wrote, and I saw how the people reacted. And when that happened, I was like, okay, this is what I can do. And so, and not really understanding, I'm going to be honest, I wasn't saved at that time. You know, I was your typical teenager, living whatever way I want to live. You know, of course, my dad would make me, you know, he's my pastor, and, you know, at home, he said, y'all don't act like y'all saved. But, you know, I was, when I got outside this house, you know, I did what I wanted to do. So I really didn't understand. I knew it was a gift from God, don't get me wrong, but I didn't look at it that way. I just looked at it, this is something I can do. And so I just started going home trying to write material. And I didn't understand that it was really a God gift. And when I finally got that, again, that wasn't until spiritual attitude came. Cause, matter of fact, I did not give my life to Christ until it was in a spiritual attitude rehearsal. I'll never forget, it was a spiritual attitude rehearsal. Right before, I would say, it was probably around February, because it was before our first concert of 94. And that's when I gave God my life in rehearsal. And that's when I really understood what God was trying to do. So before that, I knew it. You know, I knew that I had a gift, but I put it this way, I didn't give my gifting back to God so he could really anoint it. It wasn't until I gave God my life.
Wow, man, I love that, because in what you were saying, I heard patience in that, and that sometimes we as believers, Christians, let's just face the fact we're some of the most judgmental folk there are. And for you to openly admit and be transparent that you weren't saved, but yet you were working in the church and working in ministry, I can really appreciate that. And the fact that, you know, you weren't thrown away. You were allowed to work. You were allowed to grow until you actually came into the knowledge of who Jesus Christ was. And I think that's powerful. And someone needs to know that, you know, that we're not perfect. I mean, there's a process to this thing. And we shouldn't throw each other away, even though we may know that this person is living a sinful life. We still should love them and try to draw them in. So I really appreciate your transparency with your testimony there.
Right. And even on that, just to throw something in, I remember getting into arguments with my father, because back then we had a very big, great church choir. But I was getting frustrated because, you know, I've learned how to teach music. I can tell that things were not right. And some of the people that were teaching the material to our church choir, and that was over the church choir, they just didn't have it, if that makes sense. Because I think I had gotten from a place of just getting by to, you know, I wanted it on a certain level. And so I'm like, if I'm a musician, it should be on this level. And I'll never forget when my father got into it, because I told him, I said, you need to let me be totally over the choir. And he said, well, Javon, you're not saved. He said, I'm going to allow you to stay the musician. He said, but I can't let you be the leader of the music department because I can't have an unsaved person over saved people. And I said, that's not right. And I mean, we used to argue about that. And I said, Dad, I said, they're teaching the material wrong. And then when I try to correct them, they don't want to listen to me because you won't let me be the leader. And my dad said, you need to start seeking God. And I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. I thought my dad was treating me wrong, even though he was letting me function, but he wouldn't let me be in control, if that makes sense. And it wasn't until after I got saved for real that he then made some adjustments and I became the minister of music of the church. So, you know, and that's what a lot of us need to get. God has given us a lot of talent, gifts, and ability, but it will never get to the dimension or the level that you want it on until you give him your life and let him control.
Wow. Bless God, man. You saying something there, man. And thank God for the wisdom of our parents, man, our leaders, man.
Right.
Like I said,
right.
he didn't throw you away. He saw the ability. He saw the calling.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the gifting.
Mm-hmm.
But he let you function. He let you function, but mm-hmm. he didn't let you lead until it was time. Man, that's powerful. That's
correct.
Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you're listening to the James Bishop Tutman Radio Show on GPGRadio.com, and we are here with Pastor J. Javon Jackson having a great conversation. So, Pastor, you've learned to play. You've had this great experience working with these choirs. You've gone off to college, Mountain View College, and God is beginning to open doors. So I'm sure your musical influences at this time has begun to grow. Could you tell us some of those influences that really impacted your life, your music?
Oh, my God. I'm going to start with the local influences. In the BFW area was the late Leroy Williams. A lot of young people don't know him, but you need to Google him and hear. He had songs with Edwin Hawkins, Walter. He had songs everywhere. But he was a great influence to me when it comes to my songwriting and working with choirs. Leroy Williams was one of the greatest. I said it earlier, the late Annie Hogan. Some people might remember her from Annie Hogan and the Humps. She was a great influencer. But when you look at the national artists, and I want to say another one, Carnell Morrell. Morrell was a great influence to me. And a lot of the local artists, God gave me favor with them, and I was able to work with them, play with them, just learn and glean from them. So they were great influences. But when you go to the national realm, your Hezekiah Walker, even growing up, James Hall, I remember studying his music. Of course, the Clark sisters studying their music. A lot of Ricky Dillard stuff back in the day. Because I was a choir man. I love choir. I love choir music. So studying them, Andre Crouch, Timothy Wright, the Milton Brunson, and the Thompson Community Singers, the Hawkins, and Thomas Whitfield, of course. So as a choir man, I was really, that's the kind of music I was studying. And, of course, anything Orlando Draper, great influence. And I had the opportunity to meet him and work with him once, and it was just, you know, things like that are just things that you can never just take for granted. Those were awesome experiences. So they were probably my greatest influencers as far as the music was concerned. There were so many people I looked up to, but that made a major impact was those that I named, along with of course, Matty Moss Clark, the late Matty Moss Clark. Because of choirs. And I think that's, you know, she was a choir master. You know, I know we all say Ricky Dillard, they call him the choir master now, which he is. But the original choir master was Matty Moss Clark.
Yes, sir.
And so, yeah, I those are people that I study. And, of course, being growing up Church of God in Christ, I had the opportunity to just sit in rehearsals and watch them and all of that and just glean everything that they did. I tried to glean it and bring it right back to Dallas. That's what I did at all the conventions. I tried to grab what I could grab and bring it back to Dallas.
Wow.
So those were probably the main influences.
Man, those are some powerful names and some of the biggest names in the industry. Most definitely. I've interviewed several artists, and I've asked them the question, where do they see choir music today? Do you see it as on the same level as it used to be? Do you consider it somewhat declining, or do you think it's just a regional thing? What's your opinion on that?
I think it has gotten to a place where it's not respected. And what has caused the lack of respect for choir music is praise and worship in CCM. Now, I love praise and worship. I love CCM, but it doesn't, I was telling someone one day, it doesn't challenge you like choir music does. So where I see it, it has declined, but I see it coming back because we're in a season now where a lot of this stuff, and nothing against anybody, nothing against any artist, because I support and I love everybody, and I love all music. But I do feel that it's so much power in the choir sound. And when you're going through something and you're ready to give up, you're ready to throw in the towel, sometimes the little ABC stuff's not going to do it. You need something that has some major soul and major push to it that's going to kind of motivate you and say, wait a minute, get up. And that's what gospel music is supposed to change your outlook. It's not supposed to leave you depressed. And so I think in this season, it's getting ready to incline. Now, you have some artists that have never wavered from that choir sound. That's one thing I can say about Ricky Dillard. He's never wavered from that sound. And I'm looking at now, this last project he put out was powerful and it was needed during the pandemic. And so I'm thinking people are looking at that and it's going to bring about an increase. And something else you said, I do think it's regional, because you have some areas where, some regions where choir music is still major in the churches. Then you have some where it's just a team, or just a praise and worship team. But what I'm noticing is that some of those praise and worship teams are doing straight choir music instead of just worship music. So, but I do feel it's coming back. I feel it's on the comeback. Kind of like our clothes. You know, clothes, they have a trend where what was in style 50 years ago, now it's starting to come in style now. So I think the same thing with the music is coming back. Yeah.
Well, I look forward to that day because I love choir music. It's nothing like waking up as a young kid and mom's got the record playing, man, and you hear that choir sound. It's just something about that sound, and I've loved it.
Right.
I'm talking back in, I don't know if you remember the UNAC days, man.
Oh, yeah.
I love that stuff.
Do you know, in my studio, I have a record that is on display, UNAC 5. That was recorded back in 1979 in L.A.
Yes, sir.
And matter of fact, that album, I have the actual record. And that particular record, I used to learn how to play music by listening to that record.
Wow.
On one of those little old, little kiddie keyboards that you can only use one finger on. so, yeah, the UNAC days, that was some great... That was some great days.
Yes, sir, it was. Yeah. We are visiting with Javon Jackson on the James Bishop Radio Show here on GPGRadio.com. We're going to pause here. But while we take this moment to pause, we want to let you listen to one of his lead singles called Gotta Praise Him. Again, Pastor Javon Jackson.
I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad. no weapon that's formed against me is going to prosper. Because I learned a secret. As long as I praise and magnify him. Look at the person next to you and say, don't worry about your enemy. Just praise and magnify God. And he'll put a hedge of protection around you. So every time folks start shooting at you, start throwing darts at you, you begin to give him glory. You begin to give him praise. You begin to say that he's wise.
Good morning again. Thank you for tuning in to the James Bishop Tubman Radio Show here on GPGRadio.com. We have with us Pastor J. Javon Jackson, and we are having a wonderful discussion on the importance of music and ministry. And Pastor Jackson, you're an incredible songwriter, and you released a project, and you had some wonderful producers on that project. Before we talk about those producers and those musicians, I want you to take us into your creative process. What does J. Javon do when it comes to what inspires J. Javon to write songs, to write music?
Mostly, some is circumstances or situations, and some is dreams, and some messages that I hear. Even on the project, one of the songs entitled Don't Worry, that song was inspired. I'll never forget, and I give the testimony on the project, how my daughter, after she was born, 5 days old, we were at the house, and my parents had came over to, you know, see the baby and all that stuff. And when they left, I'll never forget, we laid my daughter down in the, I forgot what it was called, but we laid her down, and me and my wife began to talk about our relationship with God, and immediately we looked down, and the baby was gasping for breath, couldn't breathe. So make a long story short, we rushed to the hospital. She actually died, and then they were able to revive her. She was in the ICU, and so we were at the hospital all this time for about 3 or 4 days straight, and I finally went home. And when I went home, my parents said, you need to go home. You need to shower, all this stuff. I went home. And as soon as I went home, I went straight to my keyboard and just sat down with tears in my eyes. And I said, God, you have to help me process this with my baby. They're telling me this is going to be wrong. That's going to be wrong. And that's how that song came, because of what I was going through. So sometimes songs come to me based off of the severity of a trial that I'm dealing with. Some songs that God has given me were based off of listening to my father preach, because before I became a pastor, I was writing all the time. Honestly, I mean, I just always wrote. So he might preach a message, and that message inspired me to put a song together. Or while I was playing for him, God would give me lyrics. And so when he got through preaching, I was just, and he was doing altar call, I'll just start playing, and I'll look up, and it was a few people that was in my music department that they kind of understood my flow. And so I would look at them and tell them, you know, do this. And I'll feed them the words. This is all why service is going on. So nobody even knows that they were just learning it on the spot. I would feed them the words, and while I'm on the organ, I kind of play their part so they kind of know where I'm going. And that's how some songs started, was doing altar call after my father preached. So it's a lot of different ways. Dreams, sometimes I'm dreaming, and it's like I'm in the middle of a service and we're singing a song, and I wake up and try to, you know, record it right then. I'll sing it to myself over the phone, or I'll get on the keyboard real fast and try to put it together, and so I won't forget what I just heard in my dream. So that's kind of the process. Now, after I became a pastor, some of the I haven't written as much, and that's a whole nother story. But I have written as much as I used to. But some of the songs that I have written since I've been pastoring have been in the middle of worship at church, just Spirit of God just falls down and he will give us a song on the spot. And so that's how the process has been up to this point.
And that's amazing. That's fantastic. God is so amazing how he uses us. And you mentioned that your father, pastor, is a preacher, and so you grew up as a PK as well as I did, preacher's kid.
For those yes, people. Lord.
So I'm sure we could have a whole another segment on what that's like. And then you started preaching yourself, and now you're pastoring. So if you were to compare, you know, being a minister of music to pastoring and preaching, would you say there are some similarities there, or is one more challenging than other? Kind of give us some little insight on that.
Yeah, I'm going to make a statement that some pastors might not like to state, but I'm going to be real. As a minister of music, you are really technically you are really pastoring your music department. Because what I learned as a minister of music, it was a lot of things that the music department would share with me and would come to me for advice, would come to me for prayer that they wouldn't even feel comfortable going to their pastor about. Not that pastors are out of touch, because anybody that knows my father knows that he's a hands-on pastor. He's not one of those closed doors pastors. You don't have to go through 50 people just to get to him. But some, you know, in the music department, it's just something about the people in the music department, the attachment that they have with the minister of music. So there are some similarities wherein, you know, as a pastor, I've had to use some of the skills that I received as a minister of music, even in my pastoring. So there are a lot of similarities, but I will say this, pastoring is more tedious than minister, because the thing is, as a pastor, you're responsible for the soul of the people that you are leading. And so what I've noticed is that when I first started pastoring, I didn't understand why some nights I had such a burden in my spirit, and I would have to get up, and God would place different people that I was pastoring in my spirit, and I couldn't go back to sleep unless I literally prayed and prayed hard for them. As a minister of music, yes, we pray for the people, but, you know, there was no responsibility as far as caring or watching over their soul. So it was a big difference. I'll never forget a conversation I had with my father. It was some things going on at the church, and I was just concerned. And I called my dad, and I said, why are you allowing this? Why? And he made a statement. He said, you know what? No, it was my mother that actually made the statement. She said, you know what? She said, your daddy is not, he's in their sleep, and it's his responsibility to care for those souls. Why are you worried about it, and it's not even your responsibility? And that made a lot of sense to me, and that changed how I looked at things as a minister of music. So I say all that to say this, as a pastor, it's a little bit more tedious. And something else that my wife brought up to me, she said that He said, I'm nicer as a pastor than I was as a minister of music.
Wow.
I don't understand that, but she said that, you know, things that she said the way I treated the music department, or, you know, it even spiritual attitude, how I dealt with things. She said, you don't even handle stuff like you did when you were just a minister of music. So it's a big difference, but there are similarities.
Wow, that's a great answer. Great answer. Mm-hmm. Do you ever find my father as well as myself, we're both pastors and we're musicians as well, just like you are. Do you ever find yourself having to struggle or having a tug of war with the musician, Jay Javon, versus the preacher, Jay Javon? And I ask that with this in mind. A lot of times people only associate you with one gifting. Do you ever have to... Mm-hmm. Find yourself having to deal with those type of conversations?
Yeah, I remember when first becoming a pastor, and sometimes I would go if my father was having a like they were having a second service or something, and I would go over. A lot of them still looked at me as Javon the musician, mm-hmm. Instead of looking at me as Javon the pastor. Even though I wasn't the pastor there, I was still walking in that assignment. So I'm real big on respect. I'm very big on respect. I'm one of the people that when I'm at my father's church, in front of the people, you would never hear me say daddy. You would never hear me call him you will always hear me address him as who he is, because that's the assignment that he's walking in that particular location. So I have had that issue where people, it's hard for them to respect you in the current assignment, especially if it's people that grew up with you or people that knew you when you were born. So I have struggled with that. But one of the main ones that I struggled with is when, and this is when I was still Church of God in Christ, when the late Bishop Haynes passed and Texas was just kind of split up. I helped assist to start a jurisdiction. And I never forget the first meeting, the bishop asked, would I be on the board, the executive board of the jurisdiction? And the very first meeting, they said, well, we don't have to worry about our music department because Javon is going to be over the music department. And I said, no, I'm not. And they looked at me and I said, no, I said, that's not the realm that I'm in right now. Because one thing I did when I got to the church, I didn't want to be a musician and a pastor. I just wanted to be the pastor. I said, I can't do both. And my first order of business was getting a musician for our church. Because I just didn't, and there's a lot of people that do it and they have grace to do it. I just didn't feel that I had the grace to do both. I just couldn't do both. And so I told them, I said, no, I'm not going to be over the choir. I'm not going to be the musician. I'm a pastor now. Because I felt that if I took the music department, people would continue to look at me as just a musician. And being young, you know, that plays a big part as well. Where people sometimes don't accept a young leader, especially if that young leader was in another realm. And so, yeah, hopefully that wasn't too long, that answer.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't at all. That was wonderful. That you helped me, and that I'm just being selfish. That ministered to me. That it's nice to know that someone else has that or has had that same struggle as I have. So I really appreciate that. Kind of in that same vein, you're preaching, you're pastoring, you're an artist, and that brings challenges. I'm sure it can get heavy at times. Have there ever been a time when you just said, you know what, I'm done. I'm through being the artist, or even done with ministry. Have you ever been challenged in that way?
Yeah. You asking all the questions. You're gonna pull it out of me today. yeah, that's true. I went through that season. Matter of fact, the first year that I pastored, I was still trying to do the music. I was still heavily involved in the music because, just to rewind to give you a segue to that, before I started pastoring, Spiritual Attitude had really hit hard. In other words, we had released a limited edition CD. We were getting heavy, heavy radio play across the country. We had started traveling, and a lot of things I've held, only people that are close to me and people that were in my group knew some things, but if I was to literally tell you the phone calls that I received during that season, the places, the houses that we were in with people trying to grab us. We had signed a major distribution deal. I'm not going to say the name of the company, but we had signed it, and we were actually going to release our project during the Memphis convocation. Matter of fact, the contract for the location had already been signed, and it's I'm not even gonna say name of the church, but it's on a lot of the press releases. If people Google it, they can probably find it. But all of this was going on, so we're traveling, we're doing good, and I felt like I was on top of the world, even though we were waiting on the national release. So, make a long story short, I ended up pastoring, and how I ended up pastoring was my father-in-law and my mother-in-law were sick at the same time. They were in the hospital and everything. And my father-in-law was the pastor of the church. And he asked me, he said, can you go by my church and check on it for me on a Sunday? He said, I'm going to call your father and see if he minds releasing you that particular Sunday so you can do it. And I said, yeah. I said, if he's okay with it, I'll do it. So me and my wife went over there, and the church was in a very declining state. And it brought tears to my wife's face because, you know, when we had gotten married, that church on a Sunday morning was booming so that you couldn't even hardly get in. And so to see it in the state it was in when we got there, and make a long story short, when I got home that night, I couldn't sleep. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know what's wrong, but I can't sleep. That your dad's church is just heavy on me. And I talked to my father about it. And I said, do you mind if I go back over there next Sunday? Just wasn't going to preach, wasn't going to play, just going to make sure things was okay. I said, if I go back next Sunday, just make sure things are okay, make sure bills are paid and things like that. And my dad said, yes, you have to come to church first, do your duty here, and then head on over there. What was supposed to be just one Sunday ended up being where I am now every Sunday. And so that was in June of 2011. So make a long story short, what happened, I became the official pastor there in November of 2011, but I was still doing my dad's church and that church until the next year. 2012 is when I was strictly at the church where I'm at now. So to make a long story short, I was still trying to do J. Javon Jackson and Spiritual Attitude, but trying to pastor as well. And I walked into something that grew me up fast because of the state that the church was in. I had to grow up and I had to learn so much to get the church out of the situation it was in. So at that point, I kind of moved away from the music a little bit, and I decided to retire from Spiritual Attitude and allow Spiritual Attitude along with my wife to go forward. And so we had a concert. It was a retirement farewell concert, and I was giving everything over to my wife and to the group. And so at that point, what happened to me is it kind of honestly made me go through low-key depression. People didn't even know it. And I honestly didn't know that's what I was dealing with. It wasn't until here recently that I realized what I was dealing with, because to go from what your dream is with the music and then to go to pastoring and you're not fulfilling that deep desire that you really had. Everybody would tell me, you're going to pastor one day. And I'm like, I don't want to pastor. My real desire was not to pastor. My desire was to travel this country with the music. So it was very rough. So I did go through a place and I said, I don't even want to do this anymore. But I found myself, when I saw things on TV, saw concerts on TV, I would turn it off. Or if my family was watching it with me, I would try to drown it out by giving my phone, because it was low-key bothering me. Because I'm like, that still is my desire, but I'm not there. And so I'll never forget Moses Tyson contacted me, and he said, I want to do something in Dallas. And he said, can you put a choir together? So I even tried to do that. And we did some things, but it still wasn't, if that makes sense, it just wasn't fulfilling or satisfying that desire I had. And so I went through a season where I tried to give it up and acted like I was okay with it, but I really wasn't. And so every year I would contact our manager at that time, and tell him, look, next year is going to be the year we're getting back in the music. But I would always allow that low-key depression to hit. Or, and this is the first time a lot of people are hearing this. Because to know me, you wouldn't think that I was dealing with that. But I finally admitted that's what it was. I was depressed because I was not doing what God... I was doing what God called me to do. Don't get me wrong. Pastoring, he called me for that. But I wasn't doing that other part, the passion. I have a major passion for music, but I lost it. Mm-hmm. I literally just lost it. And so it wasn't until during the pandemic and God allowed us to have to be sheltered in and something just happened on the inside of me. And so that's why I'm excited now because there's so much that's getting ready to happen. But I'm excited now because I'm now, and I told my church, I said, not only am I going to give my all to make sure the church reaches where it needs to go, but I'm going to give my all to make sure that I reach where I'm supposed to go. And a lot of times we throw our desires in the trash for the sake of others. And God never intended us not to do the things that we... He said, if you delight yourself in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. So if I'm doing what God has told me to do, why can I not enjoy the desire that I have on the inside? Especially when it's a God-given desire. And so, you know, so I went through that season, but I'm happy to say that I'm not in that season. I'm not in that place anymore. So music is going to be a major part of my life again. Instead of it just being something in the past, it's getting ready to be the right now. So I'm excited.
Wow.
And I can't remember your original question, but...
Hey, you answered it, Doc. That is... powerful. I mean, to think, the pandemic has scarred us all. It's scarred the world. And to see how God was able to use that pandemic to basically restore you and revive you and to kind of motivate you to get back on something that you really desire. So, man, I think that's amazing. That's a perfect segue for me to ask you what's next for J. Javon and Spiritual Attitude. What's coming around the corner, man?
Well, actually, today was a day that something was finalized, but we will be coming out. We're going to re-release some of the project through singles, and so we'll be hearing about a re-release very, very soon. So everybody will just have to make sure they stay tuned to my social media pages and platforms. But we have some music that's getting ready to be released. And I am co-producing a single for my children. They have a group called Judah. It's my son, my two daughters, and my niece. And it's amazing. But it's going to be produced by Bobby Sparks, and I'm co-producing it. And so that will be out this year. And then I have some other things that I'm working on. So everybody's just going to have to stay tuned. But I can say this much, is that J. Javon Jackson, as far as an artist or a musician, however you want to call it, is back. Is back. So I'm going to wear the two hats, the pastor hat and the artist hat. So I'm really
Bless excited. The Lord.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord, man. Thank you for, releasing that information on the radio show, man. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, wow. your show is the first show that got that, so you got it first. So everybody, y'all heard it first right here.
On the James Bishop Tubman Radio Show, and I'm feeling so blessed to be the first to hear it.
Amen, yeah. So if you only knew, I'm just really excited. If you only knew, I'm very excited, so...
We're excited for you, and man, we're going to support you, and we're going to pay attention to your social media platforms. I'm sure you have all of them, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So for those of you that are listening, make sure you go search J. Javon Jackson and Spiritual Attitude and follow them on all of their social media platforms so that you can stay in tune with what's coming next. We're so thankful. As Pastor Jackson has said, he is back. And man, we're going to support him and his efforts. And we thank God. Pastor, thank you so much for being with us this morning and sharing and being transparent. You didn't have to be, but I thank you so much. It that. It's been a help to me. It's been a blessing to me, and I'm sure it's been a blessing to many of our listeners. So thank you so much.
Hey, man, I really appreciate the opportunity to have been on with you this morning, and I'm thankful, and I'm just excited about even your platform and how God is going. I see all these great artists that you have been interviewing, so I'm like, yeah, you're getting ready to, your platform is getting ready to blow. So, I mean, because I just feel it kind of is an honor to be on with you this morning, so I appreciate you for opening up the doors for me. For little old Jayvon Jackson, I appreciate that. And I'm just excited. I'm going to make sure you know everything that's going on with us. You will know everything.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much for your, we're humbled by your kind words. We're just believing God, man, that he's going to do something amazing in this new season. And and I'm thankful for the relationship that you and I are beginning to build. And I just look forward for great things from you and your ministry and as well as your music ministry. So, again, we thank God. In closing, is there anything you would like to leave to our listeners? Any words of encouragement that you would like to give you this opportunity now?
Yeah, I want to encourage each one of you. The theme that our church has for this year, God gave me this theme that this is the year of transformation through consistency. And so I want to encourage each one of you to whatever the desire that you have, whatever gift that you have, it might be writing a book, doing a recording, opening up a business, do not allow circumstances to push you back, but allow your circumstances to propel you into who God wants you to be. So transformation will come through your consistency in working, your consistency in trusting God, your consistency in perfecting your craft. So I want to encourage you to do everything in your power to try to be that person that God has called you to be, and watch how God transforms your life and evolve you into the person that you've been praying about. So I'm excited about your future, and I speak blessings over your life.
Bless God. You heard it right here. Transformation through consistency on the James Bishop Tubman Radio Show here on GPGRadio.com with Jayvon Jackson. God bless you, and may he keep you, as I pray. Be safe out there. Bye-bye now.